I guess probably most of you know this trivia question this evening, but Mike used to preach. Did y'all know that? Didn't he have the voice of a preacher? Rudy Carey's, that's probably where you learned all that from, because probably in his day, back there in his younger days, they didn't have all the sound system like we do now, so he just had to bellow it out. And I noticed Brother Nate decided not to sit in front of me tonight, but that's okay. That's okay, brother. And that reminds me, we'll make an announcement on Sunday, more official, but Nate, him and his wife, placed membership with us, met with us elders. So anyhow, we're glad to have you with us, Nate. So we'll get started. I'm going to drift a little bit because it's very timely information. Get started. Good to see you, Joe. And today, March the 5th. What is March the 5th? What is today? Oh, some of you knew. I thought I'm going to catch a few of you off guard. And the Ash Wednesday. What's Ash Wednesday all about?
It's basically, yeah. Unfortunately, my children's agenda had Ash Wednesday, so I had a little bit of a lesson today. Most of them don't know what it's about, and, you know, I explained that their ashes are placed on their head. They wanted to know where the ashes came from. I said, I'm sure the priests get those, like holy water kind of thing. And that it reminds the Catholic, the people that are Catholic, that they came from dust, they will return to dust, and that's God's plan. And also to remind them that it's their responsibility to find redemption and to work toward what God expects for his people, basically. So it's kind of like a reminder moment. And they begin the process into Lent toward Easter, where they give up things to prove their loyalty to God. Right, it's temporary. It's till
okay.
Easter.
Okay, that's pretty good. I'm going to go through some other facts here that I thought was rather interesting. Just for those of us, you know, we don't practice that, of course, but the Catholics do. I think the Episcopals do. I don't know about the Lutherans, if they do or not. Huh? They do too. So you have a lot of different ones. Margie's going to probably get me, but I went to Rotary. I get home this afternoon after doing a couple errands and all that, and I come in, and Margie says something about, you know, I got noticing she was watching some news stuff because the day after all the Trump stuff, and she said they kept having some dark deals on their foreheads. And finally one of the guys said, this is just smudges. And she was thinking it's because of a certain political aspect that they had. And I said, well, I think that's probably the ash stuff that the Catholics do. So anyhow, and she, then she, well, there was one that had a pretty good cross going. So anyhow, some of you are going to see an actual cross. Some of it's just a little dark smudge type situation. But I'm going to just read this. Ash Wednesday is today, marking the start of Lent and the Christian Easter season, according to them. The Holy Day, also known as the Day of Ashes, has roots all the way back to the Middle Ages. While most commonly associated with the Roman Catholics Church, is observed by many Western Christian denominations. And it talks about the Episcopals and so forth. Falls Wednesday, today's the day. Ash Wednesday is a holy day of reflection and repentance in the Christian faith. Believers observe the fasting by receiving ashes in the shape of a cross on their forehead. Ash Wednesday also marks the first day of the season of Lent, a 40-day period of prayer and fasting leading up to Easter Sunday, when Christians believe Jesus rose from the dead. You can tell how they wrote this, that Christians believed, probably a non-Christian that came up, did the research on it. Lent will last until Holy Thursday on April the 17th of 2025, or the Thursday before Easter Sunday, which commemorates the Last Supper. According to the Franciscan Friars of the Providence of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the practicing of marking foreheads with ashes dates back to the Roman Catholics in the 8th century. So that's how far it goes back. Ashes represent repentance and purification, and receiving them is a way for Christians to mourn their sins, which they believe Jesus Christ gave his life for on the cross. Now, here's the other thing. Here's what the ashes are supposed to be made from, okay? Ashes are made by burning palms from the previous year's Palm Sunday, or the Sunday before Easter, which marks the beginning of the Holy Week. The ashes are consecrated with holy water and incense before being administered. So that's what it's supposed to be made of. The barbecue pit. I'm going to catch one of the Rotarians and say, hey, is this palm ashes? And if they look at me with a blank, I'll know that they probably don't do that anymore. It may be just a charcoal out of the barbecue pit, but anyhow. Okay. So I just... The Catholics got it started, and you get all the stuff about the Jewish on the calendars. Remember all inclusiveness, okay? You didn't have what? Yeah, I don't know when all that has started, And it may have started back with all this inclusive stuff that have gone to, so... on that, so I don't know how far back on that, but I'm sure somebody can Google that and bingo, see what the Google people know about it. I got two here. I'm going to go Don first. Okay. They may still use the palms and burn them and all that, but at the same time, some places may be hard for them to get palms, and therefore they may not. I don't know. That might be something to ask somebody about. Some people, the regular members probably have no idea where the ashes come from on that. But let's see. Sue, was that Sue? I guess they started today, because one of the things they do is they give up something that they think is can make them sin or whatever. So a lot of them give up a certain food, different things like that for that whole 40-day period of time, okay? Maybe tomorrow is the first day. The other thing, I had another sheet talked about, there's certain foods during this 40-day time. It's only fish, okay? It's going to be on Wednesday, okay, because it started on Wednesday, and Fridays. Okay, and even though the Catholics several years ago did away with having fish on Fridays, but during this time it's still fish only, no other kind of meats. on that deal, you know, those 2 days during the this time period. So if that helps any on that. So tomorrow may be the first day of the actual fast, okay? So, and don't get me into all this Mardi Gras stuff. It's also all mixed up with that. And I did not look any of that stuff up. Of course, Margie looks that stuff up for me, but so don't, I don't understand all that stuff either. So, yes, sir. Yeah, the deal that talked about the fish part mentioned Burger King, and a lot of the fast food places have fish sandwiches, so that you know, those that practice that can, you know, just whip in and get a fish sandwich and be okay. So that's true too. So it's just they were just marketing to a group is what they're doing. So anyhow, I don't know whether that helps any, but a lot of times there's things that happen, you know, in society that we may kind of wonder, I wonder how that got started. So I just kind of throw that out today, a little off our lesson, but since it started today, Celeste, Andre, which one of y'all? Throw another one out. A friend of mine said, you know, they do all that on the face, on the forehead and everything, but yet, you know, they're the same people that do all the prayers and have special times for their pets too, and as if they're all going to heaven. So anyhow, I just throw that out. I've always remember him. That's a big thing about him, you know, grouping those same people with that. So there's a lot of different things that different groups do out there. Yes, sir.
The intent has been, I'm not sure what the word would be, but the intent initially was to remember, like you said, that we are dust and to dust we're going to return. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we are going to sacrifice something of value for us, of us. And so that was the intent, and not that everybody, that anybody has to do that. It's a voluntary sacrifice that we do. And I hear people say, well, I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not supposed to do that. Well, that's a wrong intention. Should be from the heart.
Right.
But a lot of people don't do that.
Which is the same thing that we fall into. We have to go to church. We should want to go.
Yeah.
Should be what we want to do.
Same principle involved, yeah. So it's a... But anyhow, anybody else got any other thoughts? Oh, Don. Don, you won't come up and teach class tonight? You're the encyclopedia back here, evidently.
Sometimes I might be in
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of different things, avenues we can go with that, but anyhow. But just throw some information out for everybody this evening. Did I see another hand somewhere over here? Joe. Joe, I'm not putting any ashes on you.
I'll go find a barbecue
kit. Yeah. Oh, one more thing. They do drive through ashes, too. So, yeah. Yeah, she must not been aware of that. So, okay. Anybody else got anything on that? Well, let's get started for a lesson here. As y'all know, we've been throwing chunks of wood on the fire, building a fire as we go through here about our zeal. John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. So who are we going to be talking about?
The devil.
The devil, exposing Satan's lies. Is there wood on the fire on this lesson? Just as heavy winds and pouring rain can threaten a campfire, Satan is a threat to your zeal. Okay, and we're going to talk about different ways Satan can really knock our zeal. Therefore, the next step is building lifelong zeal and is protecting your spiritual fire from his attacks. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The full armor, okay? God warns Christians to be on guard against schemes of the devil. And one scheme that zealous Christians must especially guard against is deception. If Satan can deceive you about the value and the nature of biblical zeal, he will be able to smother your spiritual fire and create underlying problems that impact many areas of your faith. Okay, so he's lurking out there. And him and all his angels are trying to trip us up some type of way. Anybody ever set a snare? Seen a snare set where you actually do a rope or you can do a wire even, and you take a limb, you pull it over, and you get it just right with another one, a little fork, and you put the loop there and you tie it on. So hopefully whatever you're trying to catch will walk through there. And they'll bump that just slightly, and wherever, whatever foot or 2 feet or neck or tail gets caught inside that snare, when that limb goes up, it's going to tighten up on it, and you're going to have them snared hanging up like that. That's kind of what the devil's doing. He's trying to snare us, and once he's snared us, we're just hanging. I mean, he's got us now. And that's what we have to really watch out, because if we don't, once we're snared, it's harder to get out of that snare, okay? If you see the snare, you're always aware of it, you're always looking for the snare, you're going to be a lot better off always being on your guard, okay? Okay, always keep that in mind. We want to stay on our guard. Satan's lies about zeal exposed so that you can purge them from your thinking and replace them with the truth. That's what we got to think about. We're going to kind of think, talk about his lies so that we will try to purge those from our thinking, so help us stay on the straight and narrow path, okay? Satan taps into the temporary high that comes from new things to draw believers into this trap, okay? And he has done a very good job in a lot of religions throughout the land, throughout the world. Think about that. New things. Some people are always doing something new. You ever seen the person that every 6 months they're driving a new car? Have you been around people that every year or two they sell their house and they're buying another house? They're just like they're never happy. Always something new, something exciting that they're trying to do. And there, some people just fall into that. People will fall in that same thing religion-wise. This lie has taken hold of Christians who are constantly in pursuit of some new stimulant. They want to sing new songs, let's say. And not, I'm Joe, not picking on you here. But you think some people always want to sing new songs. Or they want to hear new songs on the radio. They're constantly looking for what's the latest song out. Which you think about, it baffles me. Songs. I just wonder how many songs are out there. Is there 1 million? 2 million? I mean, there are a lot of songs. You go way back, you know, all the oldie songs, but even now. And there's songs on there, there's no way I can tell you what they sang, you know. It's just a bunch of gibberish to me. But the only way you ever understand it, you have to have the actual printout of the lyrics. And then when you read the printouts, oh, I don't need to listen to that. So, but I would just wonder how many songs are out there. But some people are constantly looking for new songs. And I'll pick on my son-in-law for a second. When we travel with him and the grandkids type situation, he is constantly, he has to have the radio going. Margie and I travel. We do road trips. Sometimes we may drive 100 miles in silence. We're not big ones of playing songs all the time. There, once in a while, you know, we'll say, why don't you find a song, you know, and she'll, you know, start punching and try to find something. But he is constantly changing songs. And it's a whole varied type of thing. It's not just one type of songs. So that's kind of why it's a new stimulant. He's always wanting to do that. The only thing we want to sing, some people only want to sing new songs. They only want to attend new churches. You know, some people church hop a lot. And with the new trend, so many, especially Baptist churches, have changed over to what? Fellowship. How many churches they have fellowship in their name? A fellowship church says, we will welcome you. We don't care what faith you are. Even if you're Jewish, come on. We'll fellowship everybody because they're trying to keep their growth going, okay? But a lot of the Baptist churches have gone to fellowship aspect, and they keep some of the Baptists, but they add some of this other stuff also. Margie and I stumbled across a Church of Christ. I can't remember the town right now, but when you're coming back on I-10, you cross over into Texas out of New Mexico, you don't go too far, and there's a little town there. And we were coming back, and she looked it up, and it was the Church of Christ, and we found them. And we went, and we thought, this is unusual, because they a small church, but they had one of those big bell towers. And And there's one of their older guys went out there, wham, pulling on the rope, ringing the bell. We're thinking, this is different. We go and sit. It happened to be singing night, okay, that evening. So And at some point, we noticed they had a piano over there in the kind of corner. So we're kind of saying all this. Sat behind the preacher, his young preacher, his family, younger kids, everything. And they was going through. They got up, first part of the song service, prayer, everything seemed pretty normal. Type situation, singing a cappella, songs that we've sung some before. And then at some point, all of a sudden, this little lady gets up and goes sits at the piano. And then we went into the songs with the piano, okay? What I finally found out, Margie and I got up and left after that point. But preacher friends, I started asking, I said, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. If I remember correct, it was a Methodist church and a Church of Christ, and they're both congregations that were dying. They had gotten so low. So they decided that they would meet in the Methodist church building, but they used the Church of Christ name, okay? But the agreement was they had to use the piano during part of the service for the Methodists, okay? And I don't know what else they did, but that was... And I forget the town. I'm sure they are still there at this point in time if they haven't, you know, disbanded. But that was their aspect of trying to save both congregations. Well, we just combined, and we're going to now, you know, do a little bit of each. Was that right for the Christians to have done that? No, it wasn't right. They would have been better off to stay as a small group, even though it might have been two or three families. There was a church in Arizona we visited one time. We actually helped a preacher there. It was in Globe, I think, Arizona. So we was up there in Phoenix. We saw, well, that's not too far out. So we drove to it. It was about an hour and a half out of Phoenix. And found the church, big, nice building, okay? Older, but real nice. It was on a Wednesday evening. Went in, they were sitting on the back, two, three rows, had the preacher, and there was, I don't know, Margie, was there 14 people maybe, 12, 14? It wasn't many. And I thought, whoa, for Wednesday night. And even when we drove up the parking lot, very few cars. So afterwards, got talking to the preacher. Copper. They had a big copper mine there. And the copper mine had shut down. And when the copper mine shut down, whoa, the town was deserted. Lost, you know, thousands of people all of a sudden when the copper mine shut down. The church was still there. They're still trying to function. He said on Sundays, if I remember correctly, they had maybe 30, 40 people. But they still had the big building. All that was paid for. So they were still trying to hang on and worship. Even though there were so few of them. So, you know, there's some sad situations out there, but at least they're still hanging on. They haven't went to, I'm sure there's some other group there, Baptist or Methodist or whoever, that are probably in a similar situation. They have very few members, but they're not out trying to combine to get numbers up. So there's a lot of situations out there that Satan is working on trying to get people to compromise the truth. And we have to always be on guard on those type of things. They only want to hear new preachers speak on new topics, etc. The people of Athens fell in this trap in Acts 17:21. Now, all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. Okay? Acts 17:21. We don't need to fall into that trap. Okay? Thankfully, God provides the escape from the endless pursuit. 2 Peter 3:1 says, I want to stir you up by way of reminder. The entire part of that, this is now. 2 Peter 3:1-2. This is now. Beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Peter knew the best tool to stir up the hot coals of faith was not something new, but something timeless. Something timeless. Satan's lie is about new things is effective because they can function as a temporary accelerant to anybody's spiritual fire. Okay? Rebecca brought up about the barbecue. Get the barbecue coals out, going to barbecue some ribs or whatever, and you put them on the pit. What's the first thing we're going to do? We're going to get some of that lighter fluid stuff, charcoal lighter, put it all over them, throw a match on them. Well, if you get the charcoal that has the stuff built into them, I guess you have to do that. But throw a match on that. Whew. Now, you have to wait a while till they burn down. They start getting the little ash color around the edges because if you don't, your meat's going to taste like charcoal lighter, okay? If anybody's ever done that type situation, it will happen. But you let that burn out, and you get your fire going a lot quicker that way. If the fire gets low, some people make the mistake of put some more lighter fluid on it. Here we got a big blaze going again, trying to get it going faster. You got to be patient with that type of stuff. But their ear cannot stand just a little flame. They want a big flame going, is what happens. So it's like spraying the lighter fluid on a tiny flame. These accelerants cause a brief increase, okay, brief increase in zeal. So some people get a little stimulation, and boy, they're really zealous again. And then everything comes back down to a normal, and they lose their zeal all of a sudden. That's the reason why way back in one of the first lessons I talked about, we all have zeal, and we all get in a valley. It's an up and down thing with us all. And that's what we've been going over different things to try to keep our zeal, our enthusiasm up for the Lord all the time. Okay? To have real zeal, you have to have change within your heart. Okay? Change within your heart to have that real zeal. Zeal will quickly dwindle if you don't have that real zeal in your heart. Okay? Don't get caught in Satan's lie about the new. The truth is, lifelong zeal depends on the enduring what? Enduring what? Enduring what? Come on, guys, y'all know. The enduring word. I mean, if we don't have the word of God, zeal is going to dwindle. Okay? You're going to get in those low slumps real easy. We got to have the word of God, that truth, all the time. Christians who define themselves in terms of what they don't do will quickly lose their zeal. Now, this is one we all got to be careful about on that. Yes, sir.
I just got a question. What is zeal? It's not a word we use in our normal everyday English vernacular. What does zeal mean? What is it to have zeal?
It was to be zealous, to always know the truth. And when you know the truth, you're more apt to try to talk to someone about the Bible, about being a Christian, and so forth along that line. Instead of hiding your flame under a bushel, you're letting your light shine. Okay?
You could also say to have a desire.
Yeah, desire. There's several things we've been talking about on that zeal all the way down the line here. I have to look back at all my notes, Joe, and I can... There you go. That's what we've been talking about. Okay. Well, see, this is one aspect tonight. We've been talking about all those other aspects over the last weeks, okay? But But you just said it right there. You know, that, and that's the reason why it has to be enduring, that we have in our heart that we're going to continue to stay on that and not drop down, and then we'll get back on a high at some point. That's like gospel meetings. What's the big point about having a gospel meeting? Zeal. Get a shot in the arm, boost your zeal up, which is what it's a lot about. You know, Church of Christ didn't like using that revival word, I've come to realize, but growing up as a Baptist, yeah, you had revivals, you know. And to revive us again, sometimes we need to have a revival. But same thing on Wednesday night. It's that shot in the arm, you know, give a little boost here about everything. But that's, you know, that's all part of it on that. When you think, okay, here we go. When you think, I don't steal, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't, and the list could go on and on, your entire spiritual life becomes about holding back. When you do, don't, okay? The effect of this zeal zapper is true when the list of things to avoid in biblical is biblical and right. Think about this. When you define your faith by saying, oh, we don't use musical instruments for praise. Oh, we don't misuse church resources. Oh, we don't believe in false doctrines. All of a sudden, see what we're doing? We don't, okay? And that can have a wrong impression on somebody you're trying to talk to when you're talking about you don't, because here they're thinking, well, we do this, and we do that. Okay, so we got to keep that in perspective there. Let me put my finger right here so I don't lose my spot. John. And I agree with all that, but a lot of times we use things that we do because they're commandments. We do partake the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. They don't. Okay, so there's, but we have to be careful how we handle all that. Our time is out, up. We're going to start right there next time, and we'll go from there. Thank you all for being here.